You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Some of the talking points and things we're going to talk on this episode, the highlights. Borderlands 4 boss calls us gamers 4K stubborn. NVIDIA is having some problems with China on anti-monopoly. HDD and SSD prices are expected to skyrocket maybe 30%. Doom the Dark Ages, Jedi Survivor, GTA 6 delayed, and whatever else.
Welcome to the Extreme Gaming Podcast.
Hello, welcome to Extreme Gaming Podcast, episode 298. This is Great Gamer 25, and we also have my buddy here. Go ahead.
I am Hans, known as Megal from Hell, and it's just us now.
Yeah, just us today. Anyway, the reason why we're down one or two people is Matt and Trev both had real life things that they had to attend to that were important. So me and Hans are picking up the action.
It's just an easy way of saying we don't really have a life anyway, so let's just do this.
But we will carry the torch forward and always give you fans out there the new stuff you wait for.
Yay.
We're going to kind of start off with a game review, a couple games that Hans is going to talk about. So Hans, you might as well just go on into it.
Okay, well, it's not a new game and it's not a review, by the way. In light of a game we're gonna talk about later, which is called Borderlands 4, you know, there's a lot of problems with Borderlands 4. I mean, everybody knows what's going on at the moment, but maybe some of you remember that about 2 years ago, another infamous, game came out that was practically unplayable on PC called Jedi Survivor. I remember I bought it day one. Physical edition, by the way, just saying, which was still a thing back then.
One of the last ones.
Yeah, it was a code in a box, but okay, that's another another topic. But anyway, so imagine my shock when me with a 4090 and a 7800 X3D back in those days wasn't able to play the game. It stuttered like hell. I got 20 FPS in some points. There were gigantic traversal stutter, shader compilation, everything that could go wrong, you name it. And well, I did manage to beat the game somehow. I still don't really know how.
That's good.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I had to replay it, because it crashed so much I forgot about half the story. I literally spent half my time in the config menu instead of playing the game. So so I was like, okay, you know what, I need to replay this game anyway. And here we are 2 years later, and is the game playable? Yes. Is it better? Yes. Is it fixed? No. No, it's not.
No, wait a minute. If it's better, but it's not fixed, what's better and what's not
what
fixed?
What is better? There is a little bit less traversal stutter.
Okay.
I say that with
tongue in cheek.
Yeah. It's still there, though, but the main culprit in this game actually is ray tracing, right? If you turn on ray tracing, no matter what card you have, no matter what GPU card combo, it doesn't matter, the game is practically unplayable. Wow. You get traversal stutter, shader compilations, there's even lag delay in the animations, which is completely bonkers, I think, for a modern game. And Well, turning off ray tracing does improve the game. There's actually no more crashes. That is something they really did fix. So that's when I good. Played it the first time, it crashed like every 20 minutes. There was, I think, still to this day, there was like a leak or a memory leak or whatever. Mm. And when it filled up, it just crashed your desktop. I think, I'm not sure. But anyway, that they did fix. But there's still traversal stutter. There's still shader compilation stutter. It's just less frequent. And the game's actually playable now with decent frame rates, at least on a high-end PC. I can't speak for people with mid-range PCs, I'm sorry. I really hope you people can play that also, because it's...
So again, we scratch our head and wonder 2 years later why they can't...
That is why I was so not surprised about Borderlands, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. By the way, I played Jedi Survivor on PC, though. But there's two reasons why I couldn't play it. One was the problems you ran into. I did, too. The other thing was that since I'm no good with a controller, the game, even though it was ported to PC, was not made for keyboard and mouse.
No.
I had so many problems with that, and it was just like, I played like 30 minutes, and then I said, nah, I'm done.
Yeah, no, indeed. The game you have to play with a controller, that is still a thing. There is keyboard and mouse support, but it's practically unplayable.
Yeah, it's almost like they threw it in as a here you go.
Fine. It's not that I can't play with a controller, but I prefer mouse and keyboard when possible, just because of the reaction times you can get with a mouse and keyboard. But in this game, it's really not that important, to be fair. Yeah. So, and there's a story mode now. I'm not sure it was earlier, but I remember.
Oh, really? I don't remember.
A lot of people were complaining about the difficulty because it's they called it Souls-like, which I don't think is a correct...
I don't know about that.
I don't really think is a correct analogy for it, but it was... There was a challenging, you know, combat difficulty at some times. And now they actually added the story mode, which probably would be okay for you. Now, the worst thing about all the problems with this game is this is actually a really good game, right? This is probably the best Star Wars we had from Disney point blank. It is canon. Cal Kestis is one of the most powerful Jedis now. it is. If you look on YouTube and you look at these little clips about who's the most powerful Jedi, top 10 Jedi, yada, 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 Cal Kestis is consistently in there somewhere. Because, but he is a cool character, though.
He is. So he's got a good storyline and everything, which is nice.
The story from Jedi Fallen Order and Jedi Survivor, they're among the best Star Wars we ever had. Which...
even better than Outlaws?
Outlaws. Let's very briefly touch on Outlaws, by the way. Briefly, because I think the story from Outlaws is actually okay. Right? Mm-hmm. I'm talking about purely the story, right? Because we talked about this before, right? It is a miracle. How did they get this so wrong? Right?
I don't know.
How can you...
Right out of the box, too.
Literally, an open-world Star Wars game should be an easily billion-dollar thingy. Yeah. So, yeah. And they managed to I still can't believe how this happened.
I don't either. I remember the day I played it when they said open world. I was excited. Yeah. So I go to play it, and I'm envisioning like a big old map, like you see on Assassin's Creed and other games that are big. You know, Far Cry, the others. And I get playing the game, and I open up the map, and there's a bunch of nothing. And then there's a port over here, and a bunch of nothing. And then there's a city over there, and then a bunch of nothing. I'm like, oh my god.
I did have a little bit less expectation than you, probably. I thought it was like open world planets. Like, you have an X amount of planets, and it's all open world, which it kind of is, but they're so empty. And, yeah, I don't know. I don't think Star Wars in an open world game worked in that setting, right? They should have had it more like with the Jedi and all that kind of stuff. So, but yeah, that's just my opinion. But anyway, right? No, Outlaws is not a better game than Jedi Survivor at all. It is better optimized, maybe, but that's a different topic.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Not at first.
I didn't play it at the very beginning, so I don't know. God, so I can't.
That was like, yeah.
Oh, okay, was it that bad?
You'd
also,
be running into things that aren't there. There would be the thing with your gun would fall off your hip and stuff or disappear.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. I remember one thing about Outlaws, though. Because you can customize your speeder bike, right? Mm-hmm. The second you do any customization on it, your frame rate tanks.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. I was traveling. I was in one city. I don't know what it was. And I think I was getting 60 frames, which should have been better, but whatever. And then as soon as I got on my speeder bike and started heading out into the open, nothing. It drops down to like 30, 20. Yeah. And then when I got to the next city, it dropped down to like 10.
and I Googled that, and apparently the answer indeed was just take off all customization on your speeder bike.
Oh, okay.
And when I did that, the game ran fine, which is completely idiotic. So, but yeah, no, back to Jedi Survivor then. I mean, the story of Jedi Survivor is just excellent. I mean, you got everything in there that you want from Star Wars. There's Darth Vader. I mean, spoiler for a two-year-old game.
You think they should make a movie about it?
Yeah. I don't think they're going to make it into a movie because it's already canonized now, this one. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure at some point you're going to see Cal Kestis on the big screen or the small screen, whatever, but you're going to see him in live action.
I would, yeah.
Because they're making a third game now, which is... This one is 9 years before A New Hope, right?
Okay.
So, and the other one is going to be closer to A New Hope. So
please tell me they're porting it to PC at the same time so that we don't get a screw-up again.
Didn't they port it to PC at the same time?
No. Well, there are games that when they go into it, they already know they want to do PC and...
Oh, that way you mean. Yeah. I remember. Yeah. Yeah, let's hope you have a little bit better port.
The first two games are afterthoughts. Oh, let's just throw it on PC.
Yeah, let's just say that's typical EA, I guess.
They should go to what's that group? Nix's. Nix's is really good at porting.
Yeah, they're they do the work for Sony, I guess it was, no?
They do it for a couple groups. They're getting a real name for how good they do port.
They generally have good ports. I mean, I'm maybe not the biggest PlayStation fan, but if they port a game over, there's really not a problem, except for, I think, for Spider-Man 2 was pretty buggy. But I'm not sure that was Nixus, I think.
Yeah, I don't know if that was Nixus either. I would think it not, unless they
the
got
thing is, I didn't play the Spider-Man because everybody likes those games, and I was like, eh. I wasn't a big fan of Spider-Man, so. I don't know what was wrong. I tried the game. I played the first one, and like 20 minutes, I was like, eh.
I haven't played it, but I keep on hearing Marvel Rivals is much better than any game. I mean, look, they're being very successful with it.
Yeah, they're making a crap ton of money with it.
Even surprised how successful it is. I mean, that's a funny thing.
Yeah, to each their own, I guess. I don't think it's a game for me, though, because that's completely live service, no? Isn't it?
I think so, yeah. It's kind of like a Marvel's Fortnite or something.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're all bad, by the way. I mean, people want to play them, just play them. But for me, those live service games isn't something I really gravitate to. Most of the time... It's something that I can play for like an evening, and that's like, okay, fine, I had it. So, with a couple of friends. But no, as I was going to say, Jedi Survivor, I mean, it's still worth a playthrough. It's much better than 2 years ago, but it's not fixed. And
since you heard about a third one, have they even started working on it, or is it just news?
It's in
right
development,
now?
But I don't know at what stage, and there's really very little information. The only information there is out there. Which I guess is purely speculative, is 2028.
2020, all right. That probably sounds about right.
That is completely speculative from everybody because there's no official word. There's just, the voice actors, they said some things that they're back for the third game, so it is coming. Mm. But, when? Who knows? What's a good story going to be? Who knows? I hope they close it out fine. It's a good trilogy, so I hope they give it the ending it deserves.
Yeah.
And, yeah. We'll see, and I will definitely play day one against better judgment, probably, but...
Day one.
Yay, day one.
All right, now, you wanted to talk again about Hollow Knight Silksong. We talked about it a lot last show, but you wanted to talk a little more now that you've... Did you finish the game, you said?
Not yet. I'm still not the ending. It keeps on going. Wow. I have to say, though, the Jedi Survivor crept in there, though. I played it 2 days ago now, I think.
Yeah.
And I got into what I think is one of the final areas, but the game gets brutally hard. I mean...
It was already brutally hard.
Yeah, people were complaining about the difficulty. It was like, when you get to the later stages, like, oh my god. It cranks it up to 11 at some point. So there's this one boss, I think, was 53 tries, I think, ahead on
him. You're telling me. You thought that was going to be the end, though, I thought.
No, it's not the end.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the end of part one, and apparently there's three parts.
Oh, jeez.
So it's like, oh, God, I'm now in part two. But from what I hear, part three isn't as large, so I'm pretty sure
I got to give you credit. You still haven't went to WeMod yet.
No, I refuse to do that. I mean, I'm too stubborn for the thing, so.
Yeah, so, but you have fun finding.
I don't want to admit defeat.
You have more patience than me. I couldn't do it 53 times.
The thing is, I have fun, you know, discovering those things, right? And figuring out the boss and dying and running back. I don't have a problem with those things. I rarely get mad at a video game anyway. But let's say I'm at the final boss, right? And I have to do 200 tries. After try number 200, would be like, maybe I should just use a cheat and get see the ending, maybe. It hasn't happened yet, but there will be a point that's sometime that I have to use those things.
I was going to say, considering you only did part one, and there's two more. Yeah.
I'm not talking about Silksong. I'm talking about in general, right? Great, we're not getting any younger, right?
So, especially me.
at some point, I'm gonna reach a stage in my life that I'm like, I can't do this anymore. So.
Hey, look, I had no patience years ago in games like that. Now I definitely don't. Listeners out there, okay, there is a lot of you probably know it already.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy, just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
But there's a mod program called WeMod. That's WEMOD, just like it sounds, WeMod. And they've been out for a very long time. And the reason why they're so good is because several different modders work with them. And they're kind of like the clearinghouse of these type mods. And so when you go into it, it doesn't do anything as far as changing graphics or making graphics better or making night to day and day to night and all this other stuff. You know, that's fine. You can go to Nexus Mods for that. This is strictly just what we would normally call cheats, but it is a mod, though, when it comes down to it.
They're cheats.
I know, but they are mods. So WeMod, what I really like about it, though, is that I'm on the pro plan, which I don't mind paying for. And when you get on the regular or pro plan, you can actually set difficulty levels with sliders, which is really cool because I think every game should give you an opportunity to do that. Some games do, like Doom, the Dark Ages, and some other ones. So you can actually go in there, and if you're having some problems, you could just say, all right, I'm going to put a tiny bit more damage to the enemy than normal and then see if I can handle it or whatever. So if you are into that, look it up, WeMod. By the way, I actually wrote them an email because I wanted to interview somebody from WeMod, and they said they don't do interviews. So I said, all right, whatever.
I guess they want to stay incognito for several reasons, I guess. So. Well,
they're not incognito, man. They're all over.
I mean, the developers of it. But the thing is, though, about WeMod, I checked it out because you told me what it was like. Mm-hmm. This is something that I personally would not endorse using on video games from my perspective, right? For me, that would take a lot of out of the game and the pleasure of the game. But I understand why people would use it.
And a lot do.
Yeah, because this is one of those programs that I'm skeptical about because it could potentially ruin the experience for yourself. But on the other hand, if you're really stuck and you just want to see the game and see the story, there's an understanding there of why I would use it. Because did you know, speaking of WeMod, a few days ago, I just, you know, find something out that was a bit disturbing for me, right? Mm-hmm. Steam achievements, I don't really care about them, right? I'm not an achievement hunter, but a lot of people are. And I just on the Steam forums, I think of Borderlands it was, I guess, or whatever. I browse the Steam forums regularly for the games I own. Mm-hmm. And there was this one topic about a program called Steam Achievement Unlocker. There's really? Literally a program you can download and unlock all the achievements in the game. It's like, see, now I understand why some people have so many 100% in games. You can just literally unlock it, ding, 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 and it's unlocked. It's like, yeah. Why? Yeah. Who? I was like, this takes away every credibility of all those, like, if you got an achievement on Steam, that's like, 9% of people have this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But how many of those 9% unlocked it with the program? I was like, oh, this.
Yeah, let's put it this way: any tool that you use for games can always be abused, and they are, and that's one of them. Because like I'm the same way, Hans. When I play on the Steam and these achievements go by, I just go like, oh, that's nice, but yeah, I'm not going to sit there and pursue.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, whatever I get, and I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go. Oh, we got to get that one. Nah, I'm not that kind.
I would do that if I'm like 99% there, right? Let's say I got 20 of the 21 achievements, then I would go for number 21 just to have it filled out. Yeah. But that's the only exception to the rule. I don't really go for 100%. I mean, I think I have 600 games now. I have what, 3? I think that I 100%.
So. Well, you know, one of the things that annoys me about games, years ago, games used to have something like this where you would have to do XYZ, but you would get something for it, something meaningful, like a special weapon, a special talent, or whatever, or a crap load of gold, or, you know, whatever it is. Now, yeah. It's just like it's getting the achievement to get the achievement, and they don't give you anything.
Yeah, didn't Ubisoft had that in Uplay or Ubisoft Connect, whatever it's called now. When you got an achievement, you got points, and with those points, you could actually buy something in game. I remember this from one of the
older systems. For the achievements?
Yeah, if you got an achievement, you got a community thingy, you got 100 points or something.
They're doing something, they've done it before, but like in AC Shadows, they have this thing where you go running around collecting these virtual
points,
keys and other
crap. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you get like a special armor or whatever. That's okay, but the reason why I don't bother doing that is because I tried to do it, and there's so many stupid things you got to do that I'm just not. I'm sorry. I would like that particular armor, but I'm not going to sit there and go through that garbage.
Yeah, the same thing talking about Assassin's Creed Shadows, though. This, I don't care enough about the game to do those things.
Yeah, exactly.
If you care enough, fine, be my guest, go do it, but I just don't care enough to do those things. So.
Right. And just to come back to Wiimote a little bit for a second, again, people do abuse it, like you just said, which is ridiculous. But if you go into it knowing you just want to do a slight amount of tweaking just to help you a little bit, that's fine. And the examples, like I said, I'll give you a good example. On Assassin's Creed Shadows, you have the kunai, whatever those, the knives that you throw, right? You have so you can throw these knives and, you know, basically you have like 4 of them, or you get maybe 5 if you move up on the talent tree or whatever. But once you throw them all, you're out. So you have to go running around for these stupid areas to find a little pack or something, and then you get more of them. Well, I did that for a little while until I got damn tired of doing that. It was stupid. I'm sitting there trying to, you know, be stealthy and complete my mission. I got to go, oh, great. Now I got to go jump on some building and go find this more knives. I'm like, no, that's stupid. It takes so much time out of the game that I'm not enjoying it. So what did I do? Wiimote to the rescue.
I wouldn't do that particular thing. But if there's one thing I could do was, you know, play with Yosuke or with, damn katas you need to do.
What is it? Say
the
again?
The katas you need to do. Like the...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. I hated those. And the same with Naoe, where you have to do the finger thingy. And I was like...
Oh, did you do... Oh. You do know in the game, though, there's a setting for that. You just...
I know that now. I didn't know that then.
I told you.
Oh, my God. And I was like... I was so furious. That setting was actually in the game.
Yeah, that drove me crazy too, yeah. And then I saw in the game itself, thank goodness, they say real-time event, I think it's called, you turn it on or off. So I turn it on. And then when you sit down to do the prey finger thing, it just automatically completes itself.
There were some of those things I literally spent half an hour doing, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh no, I took a controller especially for those things because on keyboard, the keys were so nonsensical sometimes. To do that was like, oh no, no, no.
And I even tried to program some of the moves originally in my programmable keyboard. But then when I found out about this, I was going like, oh, okay. Believe it or not, I was able to do it. I love this programmable keyboard. I sat there and I put it all in there. And I hit one button, and it would just sit there and go, doo, 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 do the whole.
Yeah, the Corsair I got now also has a few G keys still. So my previous one had 15, this one has 6, I think. So it's less.
Yeah, I have 18.
You got the G75, I think.
No, this is the 95, K95.
Okay, I think that was my previous one.
This is going on six, seven years.
I got the K100 now, the successor to that one.
The thing that I don't like is that I have the 20, the 18 buttons. So then they go out of vogue or something, and they don't make them anymore. Then they come back and they make them, and then they don't make them, and then
This one has 6.
you can't find the ones with 18 right now. So.
No, they're gone. No. My daughter has that keyboard now, and she doesn't use that thing. So
yeah. Oh. Anyway, so what do you want to say about a Hollow Knight Silk Song now that you've had a.
Yeah,
more.
Sorry, we went a bit of a slight tantrum here. Silk Song, I still believe that people should at least try the game. Same for you, Gray.
Oh, well.
I mean, I know it's maybe not your cup of tea, but I would really encourage people to just...
It is now, because we mods on it.
to just try this game, because these developers actually deserve it. This is an indie game that's hugely successful. It's going to be a contender for Game of the Year. They're not going to win it, I think, but they're going to be damn close. And
they might win.
I would like people to support these kinds of games and these kind of developers. I mean, $20 for like 30 to 40 hours of entertainment. I mean, come on. So,
well, wait a minute. If you take away the 53 times you did the boss, it could be actually less hours.
Probably, but I don't think that's the mean. I don't know what the actual completion time rate is. I'll just really check that. So.
I'm waiting for some speed guys to do it. You know how they all get involved in these games and they do a speed run?
Yeah. Oh, man. Yo, this
is going to be
insane.
Hard. I bet you there'll be speedrunners out there that are going to be taking the challenge. Like, oh, I got to do this. I mean, some of them are like, you know, Doom completed in 9 minutes.
Yeah, apparently, if you don't die, the average player completes it in 24 and a half hours. But most people spend about 50 hours to complete it, so it seems.
I was going to say, you are going to die, so it has to be easily done.
Yeah. So I'm somebody, there's no death counter to my knowledge, but if there was one, it'd probably be depressing anyway. But so.
Yeah, they didn't want to rub it in too much in the game, right? Like,
there's...
When we did the podcast last week, I did on the video version of it, I put up I don't know if you saw it, but I put up a graphic. Now, this is Steam statistics.
Yeah.
On Steam, it was 3 million copies, and the revenue was $50 million.
three people that made the game. Eh?
Yeah,
three.
And that's just the Steam side. That doesn't count, you know, whatever else is coming from other areas. So I'm
holy moly. People are rolling in the money right now. So.
Oh, yeah.
And to be fair, they made a good game.
Yeah, they deserve
There's no really, there's nothing I can say as a negative meaning from the performance side. Mm-hmm. Everything works. There's no crashes, no hiccups, because if the game would stutter, it would be deadly in these kind of games. So,
sure.
It's not a graphical powerhouse also, so the optimization is going to be a lot less hard than UE5 games.
It's better optimized in Borderlands 4.
I don't think that's a pretty low bar, Gray. No, but seriously, if you get the chance, you know, for everyone out there, and you like a bit of side-scrollers or Metroidvania kind of games, try it out. It's really worth the 20.
Cool.
And if you can get it on sale, it's going to be even cheaper in a few weeks. Huh?
Nice. By the way, if you want to join our Discord, it's at discord.gg/extremegamingpodcast. And also look on YouTube. You will see a video version of this, if you're listening right now, where I add a couple of extras and some bells and whistles here and there. So check that. We also have quick breaks, which are... shorter little bits that come out of our podcast so that people can watch it in 5 or 10 minute chunks. We also have some shorts running around as well. So all that stuff is on YouTube. All right, we're going to move along and for more game news. And this is the one we've been waiting to do.
Maybe.
Borderlands. So this is putting it kindly, but the article says Borderlands 4 boss calls people 4K stubborn. And he disputes reports of performance issues like we all made it up.
Pause that sentence right there. He calls people 4K stubborn, yet people, and get this, people with a 9800X 3D and a 5090 at 1080p without upscaling get between 25 and 40 FPS.
Crazy.
I know. A 5090 and a 1080p, it's a colossal waste, but how?
I don't know. It's just insane.
Yeah.
And you're going to go and pay $70 for this or $80, right?
I think it's 80 is the standard price.
Well, the thing that gets me, and we talk about this all the time, how can you come out with a game, especially a game like this that has a history to it? You know, it's a good series, good franchise and everything, and then you bring a game out, and then it has this many problems. There's just no reason for it. And what's their answer? He said Randy Pitchford is the head of, I guess, of Borderlands, other devs, and he just
He's
says...
He's Gearbox, like, well, the head of well, Gearbox.
Just,
and...
Gearbox, yeah. He said, go ahead and just use frame generation. You'll be fine. That's his answer. So we're only putting out 20 to 40 frames, but don't worry about it. Just use frame generation and everything's good.
Yeah. To be fair, though, Randy Pitchford is one of the most notorious liars out there in the whole gaming industry, right? So you don't need to hold back on this guy. I mean, this guy has lied through his teeth for every game they had. It started with Colonial Marines. Remember that fiasco back in, I think, 2016, right?
Yeah.
I have the collector's edition right here. I was scammed. I was duped, right? Randy Pitchford is a notorious liar. He can't take any criticism. He even went on Steam, the Steam forums, and threw a tantrum there. It's all deleted now. Did it delete himself? I don't know. I mean, have you seen his tantrum on Twitter or X or whatever it's called now, right?
Yeah,
this guy is completely unhinged. He's completely unhinged. He can't take any criticism. Fact of the matter is, this game is poorly optimized. Period, point blank.
And the funny thing is, they know this, and they put in some patches, et cetera, but it still hasn't helped that much. It helped a little, but it really hasn't helped that much. It's still running at this. So what do they do? Well, we patched it. It doesn't give us more frames, so let's just blame the gamers.
That's so typical of Randy Pitchford. I mean... There's a reason there is a meme out there, right? And every time you hear the name Randy Pitchford, the song Little Lies plays in the background. So there's a whole meme culture about that one. And
of memes coming out, man, and deservedly so. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, but have you seen
that one meme? I think you sent it to me in Discord, but it was the one where somebody answered some guy that said he's having issues, and he goes, "Oh, don't be such a weenie. Go buy the 5090." And he goes, "I am running a 5090.
Here's something he said on X or whatever. Every PC gamer must accept the reality of the relationship between their hardware and what the software they are running is doing. Like, what is that kind of a statement?
That makes absolutely no sense.
And he goes on the defensive.
Stupid because, first of all, he's saying this to people that don't understand that stuff. And of course, the amount of people that don't understand is very small. People know now when they play these games. They know how to go in there and mess with the settings.
Yeah, I'll do you one better because we're not done with that tweet. He sinks even lower, and this is low as I found. Here he says, "For a campaign shooter looter, it is absolutely reasonable for developers to focus on default settings achieving 30 FPS on minimum specifications and 60 FPS on recommended specifications. Dear Randy, we are 2025." Right? The fact that 30 FPS is even still a thing is baffling to me. Now, get it, right? If you play on, let's say, 1660, right? Or whatever, one of the very old cards now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, fine, right? But a 2080 Ti, which is still not a bad card by any means, right?
Right, right.
Isn't able to play this game at 1080p at a decent frame rate.
It's insane.
Low settings, by the way. Low.
Yeah, when he sits there and makes comments like that, it just makes you go bananas. Like, so in other words, you are just wanting to produce games that can make 30 FPS, and that's all you care about. It's so dumb. And if that's the case, that's equally stupid, because if you make a game that can only attain 30, you know it's going to make less. It's going to go down in a lot of areas. So he's actually just admitting the fact that they shot for 30 and they can't even get that.
And you got to be honest here. See, Same as with Jedi Survivor, right? It's frustrating because there's a good game under there. Everybody is saying that Borderlands 4 is a good game.
Yeah.
The game itself is really good, apparently. But it's being bought and hauled back by technical difficulties. Which is such a shame. I mean, the game is a cel-shaded game. It's cel-shaded. It should never, under any circumstance, be this hard to run. On any PC.
Yeah.
At least on any bit of modern PC, right?
And right, you're not talking about doing heavy ray traces and everything else going on.
But I have seen the video of people analyzing it. And this game hammers your GPU and your CPU for some really bizarre reason that nobody has found out yet. And this is the thing I can't understand. I mean, Gearbox is not a small company. Sure. Somebody must have seen this in testing phase. Somebody gave the green light to put this out. Same with Jedi Survivor, by the way. I mean, somebody actually made the decision, okay, it's fine, ship it out. Like, what? I mean,
And this is not the first time, of course. A lot of companies do this. And it's insane.
Crazy.
Because, and really, it comes down to, unfortunately, it's like the shareholders or whatever, or the money-hungry people are all going, get it out, we got to make the money back first. Hurry up.
Yeah.
And then they have all these problems. So it's like, the game shouldn't have come out. They should have had, I'm sure they tested it and they knew what the problems were. So they should have loaded. Hey, look, there was a day one patch. The minute it came out, there was already a patch.
Great. Just use DLSS. Just use AI frame generation.
Oh, why not? Yeah, no problem.
Well, it's there for a reason. And
who cares if you have to do 4X, 8X, 10X to get it to go?
You know what the weird part is? He's not even wrong. But frame generation and DLSS should not be an excuse to not optimize your game.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
Just because you can push the frames a little bit isn't an excuse, because there's other things that involve in optimization, not just frames. You know, there's lots of other things going on.
Well, and shader compilation stutter will not be fixed by more frames.
Exactly.
Traversal stutter is not fixed by more frames. You need to optimize
all
something.
All I got to say to Randy is go look at, I always point to this, but go look at the Doom games. Very, very well optimized, always, those games. And even the Battlefield 6 that we were messing with. Again, the optimization looks great.
Are they also on UE5?
The Battlefield, I think. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Okay, just question.
Well, Doom isn't. That's the ID engine, id.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing, though. That UE5 is technically a beautiful engine, but how many crap games have we now gotten with UE5?
Yeah, but you know what? I kind of wonder sometimes, is it UE5 or is it the person using it?
It's probably a combination of both. I mean, UE5 is a powerful engine, and I'm willing to bet that not every developer, you know, knows the ins and outs yet. Mm-hmm. And it is maybe a bit harder to code. I don't know. I don't know anything about developing games. I'm just guessing here. But the sheer amount of crap ports or crap running games we got with UE5, I'm not sure if that's still a coincidence. So there has to be something there.
I just read something that popped up on my phone, and sure enough, it's Borderlands 4, right?
Oh.
They're talking about how there's no patch coming. They're saying. And they're saying that there's a super deluxe edition. Nobody wants to pay
€130.
I'll be paying that for a game that doesn't run. I won't even pay the normal amount.
I'm just going to wait for somebody to go to the gym in this one.
Maybe it'll be. You know what's going to happen? It's going to be modders to the rescue as soon as they figure it out. Well, in talking about the figuring it out problem, let's credit this guy. God, I forget his name, but there was an article that came up. I had sent it to Hans to look at too, and this guy has figured out a way to solve most of the problems. But here's what he had to do, though. He had to make sure that the shaders were upped. The shader cache, had to be up to 100 gigabytes. That doesn't include the game install or anything. So he had to sit there and go into the cache and make sure he had enough room to run 100 gigabytes of shader cache. And he said most of the problems then disappeared. I'm like, right. So then if you take the install, what is that? You're swallowing up 200 gigabytes plus?
I think
just
it's
to run the game.
Dirty install, I think it is. I'm not sure.
I don't know, but that was incredible. I couldn't believe 100 gigabytes. I'm going like, whoa. So for you people out there that have room on your drives, I mean, I guess you could try that trick. And like I said, it helps a lot, but not
crazy.
Everything. So why would you have to do that? It doesn't make any sense.
So crazy. I mean, kudos to him that he figured it out at least and now was able to play the game, because apparently a lot of people are getting crashes every 20 minutes or so also, which tends me to believe there's yet another memory leak, but that's another conversation.
I don't even know what's worse anymore. Crashes are awful. The stuttering is awful. You know, frame rates dropping is awful. It's all awful.
Yeah, but this is literally Jedi Survivor at launch all over again.
Yeah.
And Jedi Survivor was never fixed, or at least not fully fixed. Borderlands will never be fully fixed.
I want to play Borderlands 4. I hear, like you said, I hear it's a good game, but I'm not putting up with that garbage.
Me too, but I'm not paying this kind of money for this kind of game.
Aside from that, right, exactly.
Anyway.
Whatever. To move on with some more game news, in the same vein almost, we are hearing some heavy rumors that GTA 6 is going to be delayed yet again. And
surprise.
We've been hearing, what, Hans, October 2026?
Yeah, and I still stand by what I said like 2 weeks ago. I think the game is going to release by holiday 2026. They want all the Christmas money. But hey, sure. We'll see if I'm right or not. But,
Well, if they're going to wait another year, which I think is ridiculous, but whatever, and that's the second delay, then they better put it on PC at the same time. I don't want to wait 2 more years on top of that.
Not happening. They're notorious about double dipping, so and this time I'm not falling for it, so no. Nope.
Crazy. So basically, we waited all these years, and now we delayed, and now we're delaying again. It's like I don't even care anymore.
Yeah, but by the way, this is not official, but I mean,
exactly, it's rumor.
They're expecting that it's gonna be announced in November. I think it was that I read. We'll see if it's true or not. But whatever happens with that game, it doesn't matter how many times they delay it. It's going to sell a metric crap ton of copies anyway. So, yeah. And also, Sony is literally waiting for this game, because a lot of people are going to buy a PS5 or a PS5 Pro to play the game in 30 FPS, by the way. Because there's no way in hell that this game is going to run at 60 FPS. Not happening. I'm sorry, everybody out there that believes that, but not 60 FPS on any console. I don't think it's possible. Please prove me wrong, but
which is why they're not doing it to PC right away, because we know we can get more than that.
Yeah,
you know, assuming that the port's good. Right?
If they add ray tracing to that game, this is gonna cripple every GPU on the market as they're right now. So, but yeah, we'll see. But one thing though, I gotta give credit to Rockstar though. When the game comes out, it's probably a good port. I think they only had one bad port, which was GTA 4, I think, on the PC.
Mm.
That was notoriously bad. And the remasters that they came out with 2 years ago or 1 year ago.
Right.
Like Vice City remaster. But that was a fault of the remaster and not the original game. So, but still, GTA 5 ran like a dream when it came out. I
can just see now. They'll put it on PS5 in October 2026. The PC will be 2 years after that, and then by the time it comes out on PC, they'll be remaking the other one.
Of course, this is going to be the highest and best-selling game of all time. I mean, GTA 5, I think, is now the highest-selling franchise, I think.
You think it's going to beat out Silksong?
Oh, yeah, easily. I'm pretty sure, and we all know they're going to ask like 100 for this game, right? So I think that's one of the worst-kept secrets in the gaming industry. But but it doesn't matter. Even if it charges 120, it will sell day one millions upon millions of copies. The hype for that game is through the roof.
I still can't believe it took like a billion plus to make it. I don't care how good the game is. I mean, just think about it. That's a massive amount of money. I mean, that's crazy.
It's chump change. Huh? What they made with GTA 5 is insane.
Well, yeah, I'm not disputing that, but when you sit there and put all the backers of Star Citizen over the years together, it's about 800 million. And yet this game is costing a billion from the get-go.
Yeah, and they're going to make their money back day one. The amount of copies this game is going to sell is astronomical. I mean,
now I might have to wait an extra year, though, so.
Yeah, I don't mind waiting an extra year. And to be fair, if the game releases on PC like a year or 2 years later, and it's €100 or dollar or whatever, it's like, okay, I'll wait another 5 months. Then it's a bit cheaper. So, Yeah. No.
Well, since we started talking about ray tracing a little bit, the next story I had was Doom. But what they're saying in particular was that they say that RTGI, which is ray tracing global illumination, if you want to know the whole words, Doom and Indiana Jones were the only two games, I think, so far that had ray tracing and path tracing, et cetera, all baked into the game from the get-go.
Yeah.
But this has been, it gets a little technical, so I'm not going to go through all of this, but basically what they're saying is RTGI is streamlined game development, and they said it reduces the minimum and maximum pre-computation levels and lowers disk requirements. So actually the game could be larger, but it's not because RTGI keeps it down, which is pretty cool. They're saying that Assassin's Creed Shadows, if they had not used RTGI, they said they would have had a 2 terabyte lighting data file.
it's not all bad. I mean, these are good things, right?
Can you imagine though, when somebody tells you you're going to download AC Shadows and go like, well, it's going to take about 4 terabytes. You got enough?
I would like, no, I'm not playing exactly this game.
I've been hearing nothing but good things about this. They said RTGS is the future and that it's really helping developers.
Speaking of that, I read the patch notes for Indiana Jones and the Order of the Giants, right?
Yeah.
So just to do it, I think they implanted ray-traced hair reflections or something.
Really?
RTX hair or whatever it's called. I was like, really? This is a thing now. RTX hair. It's like Hairworks all over again, like 10 years ago, right?
Yeah, yeah,
the Hairworks.
Yeah.
And now they're always finding something new. This is incredible.
I got to admit, though, when I was playing AC Shadows, and you probably saw this too, on Nawe especially, the female, her hair looks real good, and it moves around naturally. And
from a technical standpoint, I think AC Shadows is actually a great game, right? Day one, it ran perfectly fine for me. Okay, again, high-end hardware, so have you. So,
yep.
But I had no noticeable real problems or frame dips or anything. That it's just that the open world was so empty.
Yeah, I've been good with it. But the funny thing is, if you notice, the hair physics that works with Nawe, like I said, it's almost perfect. And when the weather changes, because that's one thing I really do like in AC Shadows, you get different weather 4 times.
Yeah, you've got the seasons,
And every time that happens, if the weather's like really windy or there's a bad rainstorm blowing through, her hair goes like nuts, blowing around like it should. But what's really funny though is when she's near NPCs and her hair's blowing because it's a rainstorm, their hair doesn't move.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
They only work on the protagonist. They didn't mess with the other people. Their hair's just like stays right there. They put the glue in it.
Yeah, I didn't notice that one, but yeah. Should really take those. By the way, just quick question about AC Shadows. Do you play in English or Japanese voiceover?
I started playing the Japanese voiceover, and it was cool. But then I couldn't really figure out what was going on sometimes, so I switched back to English.
I swapped from English to Japanese because I just wanted to experience it, and it's left it on there. By the way, I don't speak Japanese, so I need to read the subtitles.
You gotta have
the subtitles.
Yeah.
Get that out there.
I thought that the English speaking actors, they were Asian but English speaking, a lot of them, I thought they did a good job.
It wasn't bad.
The pronunciations down, they had the accent down, and everything.
It's
so
more the NPCs that bothered me in English, to be fair.
Yeah, true.
So, but yeah, whatever.
Especially when you go up to the some of the people to buy some weapons or buy armor, they always say the same thing over and over again. Well, I'm glad you came to my store.
Yeah,
I got stuff for
generic
you.
Lines.
Like, oh my god!
To be fair, it's not that much better in Japanese, though. But it just sounds a little different.
Sure.
So
you probably know how to say it in Japanese after seeing it so many times. I'm not saying that they had to.
I'm not gonna attempt it, Gray. I'm sorry.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that they have to go in there and make the NPC say more. But can't you just come up with a few different things? I mean, it's always the same 3 lines or something. It's like dumb.
Yeah,
make them
true.
Say something. The weather. I don't know anything.
I get it.
To make it seem a little more. That's the immersion factor. When I go up there, immersion breaking right away.
Yeah. For me, the biggest problem with AC Shadows was the open world, which is huge, which is big, but Remember when you were playing, like, you know, Valhalla? I think it's better than Valhalla, let's say that. I wasn't a fan of Valhalla.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Odyssey, which is my favorite of the newer Assassin's Creed games, right?
A lot of people like that as a favorite.
Yeah, because of the, for me personally, it was the setting. Ancient Greece was like, okay, this is completely my cup of tea, right? And you could climb almost everything in this one with now, eh? You're not as free, and sometimes when you go off a mountain, like with your mount or whatever, you get in this incredibly thick foliage, and you can't see anything anymore for like 20 seconds until you're down the mountain. And it's like, how? What? Which is a bit weird to me. And
well, yeah, but you know, I mean, if you were on a horse driving, it probably would happen too. I mean,
yeah, but it's a game. So, I mean, if I was on a real horse, I wouldn't go off a slope. Right, so
I had a couple times where I was looking at the map and I was seeing where how to get there, and I would put on the map what I call it, the follow route.
Yeah.
And if the follow route took a long way around, but I could go straight there, I would attempt it. Now sometimes I could actually get there. Other times, forget it. I run into freaking mountains, and I got to go back and go around the other way.
Yeah, but with your mount, you can mostly get there, but it's a. It's not worth it. Just go around.
Yeah,
it saves exactly. You a lot of time. I know. All right, I mean, look, we're getting sidetracked again. So
that's why I enjoyed the game, but I couldn't give it more than a 7 because there was really great things about it, and then there's some really, you know, cut and paste things.
I am going to try the DLC though, which I am too. So
IGN gave it a 6 out of 10. So that's not too hopeful, but that's
it's not bad. It's not good. It's just meh. So far, the whole game has been, for me, has been meh. I mean, I've played worse games, but
the main storyline I really enjoyed, and I enjoyed going on some of the side stealth missions, but, you know, after a while, you can only go on so many stealth missions. Like, for instance, you know it as well as I do, there were some missions where you meet this person, whatever, in whatever city, and they go like, oh, you need to help me get rid of the... You know, all the pirates or the bad guys. And then I look and see what you have to do, you have to kill 100 of them.
Yeah. I'm not somebody that like achieves like 100% in games.
Yeah.
Stuff like that is what's stopping me.
Exactly. And I'm sitting there going, like, I am not gonna go and kill 100. If they're around, fine, but you know. And then I thought that was it, and then I ran into another guy, same thing. Go kill 100 of Ronin or something, and then
yeah,
another
in
one.
In every province, it's the same thing, just different things. Like
are the tedious stuff that they need to. They needed like.
What I did do was the yokai, I think it was, kill all those spirits. So that one I completed.
Yeah, there's a couple of them that are good. It's not that there isn't, but there's just a bunch of these thrown in there that are just like, it's just too much.
Let's skip them.
And you think that's a bad one. Valhalla, I enjoyed Valhalla, ugh, but once they started getting into the bloat stuff, I mean, they were putting out DLCs left and right.
Yeah.
Some free and some paid. I'm like, yeah, right. So I had a count.
Didn't Valhalla have like 3 endings or something or whatever?
I forget.
I got the one with, I think it was Odin, I guess, and the wolf and all that kind of stuff.
I went the route where the brother got killed.
I remember very, very vaguely. The thing was, though, I didn't like the setting. It didn't feel like an Assassin's Creed.
Well, the problem was that I liked the Viking era, so I had a lot of fun with that. But the thing is, they didn't have the hidden blade going on. And that's one of the main things you do enjoy. But then again, they didn't have the hidden blade in Odyssey either.
Yeah, true.
You know? So
it felt more like a hack and slash to me, this one, than an Assassin's Creed. Now, to be fair, though, in Odyssey, the reason I like the game so much is because of the setting, right? And all the historical characters you meet in that game. So, but I understand why people wouldn't like it.
Because you should play God of War, then, if you like that. God of War is full of that stuff.
God of War...
And God of War
Ragnarok. How do I say this? I like the old God of Wars. But the newer ones to me are, the newer ones are for me are incredibly boring. I'm sorry. I mean, they neutered Kratos for some weird reason. I don't know why. And
I don't know.
If I want a new God of War, I would like please make it back like the old ones.
I can't do that. I like.
But they're not
really
gonna do that because these ones sold incredibly well. And I played. What was the one before Ragnarok? God of War.
The newer one was God of War and God of War Ragnarok.
I played the first newer one, and graphically it was fine. It looked great, right? I played it on PC, but the gameplay was like, oh my god, this is not how I remember God of War. So,
I love those games.
Again, to each your own, though, by the way. I can see why people like it. Sure. I mean, so, yeah.
Anyway, I want to move on to another story I thought was interesting. Kingdom Come, you've heard the game. Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. Apparently, in the game, I only played a very little of it, but there's
a
sword that everybody loves in this game, and it's called Sir Radzig's Sword. So a company decided to take advantage of how people liked it, and they said that they have come out with a model, not a model, but an actual replica of this sword in real life.
Yeah.
And you can get it for only $1,300.
That's the same as Blizzard did with Frostmourne, with World of Warcraft, Wrath of the Lich King. They made Frostmourne, and it was also like $1,200, I think it was.
Well, I had money to burn, I'd probably get it. But it says here, in partnership with Kingdom Come developer Warhorse Studios and Historical Arms and Prop Shop, Wolflund. So apparently this Wolflund is very popular and knows what
could
they're
be,
doing.
Yeah.
They said that they made it. The only thing they didn't do on the sword is make the edge sharp.
Yeah, no. My daughter has a katana from Demon Slayer replica, and it's also not sharpened because that's actually illegal over here.
Because if you do that,
it's classified as a weapon.
It's illegal pretty much everywhere. Yeah. But I thought that was pretty neat. It's got electroplated antique silver finish. It's got all the fancy graphic work the font styles of the day across the sword. It looks really good in the game. So if they have a real one, that'd be neat. They didn't seem to have a picture of what the real one looked like because I guess they haven't finished it. I don't know. But if you're a big fan of that, or if you are, or you weapon collect replicas like that, then you might want to check this out and see what it's all about.
I may want to start with the game first, so I haven't played the game yet. So.
Well, yeah. Some people, though, are just pure weapon collectors, and they'll pick it up because that's the closest they can get to the real thing.
To be fair, apparently the game is also very good. I played the first one. I haven't played the second one yet because I was busy playing other games and it just faded away a little bit. But I'm going to play it at some point, so that's something I will play.
We're going to play at some point all the games we only started.
Yeah, I didn't buy this one yet, so I don't want to know. Yeah, I did. I went to my Steam library not that long ago. It's like, you got all your games. I got 600 games, right? Average completion rate, 15%. Like, ooh. Ooh.
I laugh, but I never used to be like that either. But there's so many, in between all the crap, there's some good games out there. And I'm 15% like on Doom. I'm like 5% on Kingdom Come Deliverance 2.
Yeah. But to be fair, though, a lot of my games came from Humble Bundle back in the day when they were actually good.
I heard recently they had some game that was really good for cheap.
They have, a good bundle now, like a retro Capcom beat 'em up bundle or something. It's €20, and there's like 50 games in there or something, I think.
Hey, I'll tell you what, I'll split the sword with you, and then we can, just share it.
No, you can keep it, Gray. I'm not really a weapon collector. I got a small little sword here in plastic. Is that good enough? So,
yeah, that's good enough. Plus, you got the statues that are cool, so that's always a good thing. Anyway, all right, we're going to move on. We're going to start covering a little bit of the hardware tech news. So I thought I would talk about a Chinese company. Apparently, they have come out with a mini PC that has been paired with a Ryzen 9800 X3D and a Pro RTX 5000 Ada MXM GPU. And they said apparently the results are mind-blowing. So this thing is not very big. It's some of those typical mini PC sizes that are like, about the yay big or whatever. There's a picture of it here. I'll put it in the video pod edit when we do it. But it says here that the mini PC, it doesn't have a very fancy name. They call it an FEVM FA65G.
You didn't think who cares, as long as it works. I would just say, here's my computer.
Yeah, exactly. The card is actually able to take USB 5 gigabits. It has a USB 2.0, 3.0 C, SD card reader even, which a lot of people aren't using these days. That has a headset port on it as well, which is pretty cool. They said it does look a lot like Apple Mac Studio, which is another small little computer, the colors on it and stuff. I guess they did it maybe that way on purpose. I don't know. But I'm impressed that they're able to get a 9800 X3D running. They said that, yes, the thermals will reach 95 degrees tops,
That's still in spec, I think. I think 97 it is. I think it is.
Yep.
Which is way too hot in my opinion, but still, okay.
Yeah, but you know what? In a little computer like that, a little mini, I expect it to get hot. So what's the worst you can do? Take a fan and blow it on it? You know, I mean, try to help a little or something?
We would hope this is tested in a lab like a lot before this came out. So.
Let's see if it has any of the other specs in here. 330-watt external adapter. That's it. To power the whole computer.
Okay, don't expect any really high gaming performance, I'm just saying. But it is enough to do decent things, though.
Yeah, I'm not seeing any real... I mean, it's pretty neat, but I don't see any real game stuff here.
I don't think it's really useful.
System noise, 41 to 47 decibels. That's not loud at all.
That's good, huh?
They said the GPU runs peaked at 74 degrees. That's not bad.
That's good.
You know, for what's in there. He said typical gaming, the CPU will stay closer to 80. So that's okay, too, I guess.
Mine goes over that sometimes, depending on the game. It's 83, I think, is the max I get.
Mine always runs cool because, you know, hey, we're enthusiasts, man. We don't let our chips get hot.
Yeah, the first thing I did was undervolted anyway, so.
Of course, at present, no confirmed price or release schedule exists. So we'll see, I guess, when it actually comes out, what the price is going to be. They're saying here that the configuration alone of what they're talking about, they're guesstimating 2,000. You know, but if you think about it, though, our computers easily would be 2,000 plus.
It's way more.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm trying to be nice.
Yeah.
This thing could actually end up doing a lot just for the 2,000, which is pretty wild.
It is. Yeah, no, it's going to be more than okay for most games, I guess. So this is actually...
If they do it right and keep the price down reasonable, they could sell a lot of those things.
This is actually, you know, less than a decent laptop.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
If you want, take for example my 4090 laptop. I bought it used second hand. But if you bought that one new back in the day, you would have paid $4,000 for it almost.
I'm trying to see whether it takes more than one. Because there's only one picture of it, I guess, whatever model or test model. It doesn't really say how many monitors it'll power. Now, some of the mini PCs that are out right now, believe it or not, will power 2 to 3 4K monitors. Those little mini PCs.
Some people actually probably need that. I don't personally, but I am curious though if this actually works. Would this be something like what Steam is coming up with? They're cooking something, right? So
yeah,
Steam is cooking up some sort of a homemade console PC hybrid thingy. And
I also heard, just a side note, since you mentioned Steam, Half-Life 3, they said, is now fully playable. So they're testing and everything. So. Shouldn't be too much longer, maybe.
I don't believe it.
No.
I'll believe it when I see it.
I think you will see it, though. There's been too much on it.
To be fair, though, how funny would it be if they were to release it at the same time on PC then with GTA 6? To have the PC gamers buy their game, so...
Well, when I originally heard it was going to be out this year, I thought that was very possible.
To be fair, if the game comes out, you're going to have a massive hype campaign about it, so... I don't think it's going to be this year. I believe at some point we will get it, though. The question is just when. But if it comes out and it's official, they're going to market the hell out of the thing because it's going to sell a lot of copies. So,
you know what? The interesting thing about Half-Life 3 is you wouldn't even have to do that much advertising. All you got to do is say Half-Life 3, and that's it. They'll all just come buy it.
So. Yeah. It's been like a topic for, what, 10 years now? 15?
More than that, even. Yeah.
Yeah, so... And here's the kicker, a lot of people are going to hate me now because I wasn't really a fan of Half-Life. But when Half-Life 3 comes out, I'm going to play just because Half-Life 3.
Well, I will make an admission too. I never played the first one. The second one, I only played maybe 25%. That's it.
I don't even remember how far I got. I need to replay that game anyway before the third one comes out. And maybe when I use me remod. Just plow through the game.
Just before the third one comes out, I'm going to go online for those YouTubers that do the compilation update, the kind of thing. Here's what happened in the first two games.
Not enough for me. I need to play the game.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, anyway.
Another article we have here, and I'm not happy if this ends up being true, but they said that hard drives and SSDs are expected to rise, and they're saying up to 30%. And I'm going like, whoa, are you kidding me? Apparently, they're saying that because AI mania is going bananas and huge data centers are asking for it, they can't keep up, so the prices are going to start going up. But man, 30%. And they're talking across the board. Western Digital, SanDisk, Micron have all raised NAND prices, and it's just a matter of time before it trickles down. So if this is true, I mean, if this turns out to be true, which it looks like it's going to be, at least I don't know if it's going to go up 30%, but man, if you guys are out there thinking about buying SSDs, you might want to do it soon.
I am very glad that I bought my 4 terabyte NVMe like 2 months ago for the laptop.
Yeah, yeah, and I bought mine as well from a while back.
I think it was 210 euros, I think I paid for this one. 30% more would be 270, 280.
Yeah, that's nuts. I don't want to pay that much more. I mean, the only thing I might play with would be to get a Gen 5 because my godlike motherboard takes Gen 5s, just to see what the Gen 5 would do, and so that might be kind of cool, but I don't know.
You know what is weird? Your godlike motherboard takes Gen 5, and my little bit older Prime X670P also takes Gen 5, but only on one lane, I think, or something.
Mine has, I believe, one... I don't know if it's two. I think it's one on the motherboard itself. Yeah. Then in the back, it has a hot swappable card. You pull the card out of the back, and you can put two more and then shove it back in.
I can't do that with mine.
I mean, I don't have that kind of money to do that, but it
is pretty
cool.
To be fair, though, I have a pretty high-end system, and then I kind of a little bit cheaped out on the motherboard. Not that it's a bad motherboard, but it's one of the X-Series, one of the cheaper X-Series, so I... In retrospect, I should have bought a better one, but it's not something that actually holds on performance, luckily, yet.
yeah, exactly. they're saying that a lot of these SSDs are going to train LLMs, which is all, you know, the AI thing. But they're even talking about mechanical drives, too. I mean, they're going to be going up as well.
Yeah, but these are used for data storage. Eh? I still have one of those mechanical drives also, like a normal HDD.
I still do too. I have a 4 terabyte sitting in my closet.
Yeah, same. Just for storage, movies, and all kind of stuff. So
yeah. So go out and buy an SSD soon, everybody.
Yeah.
before it goes up too high. Next story we're going to cover is NVIDIA is having problems with China. And apparently, as the story goes right now, is that NVIDIA is being accused by the Chinese government for anti-monopoly. So, in other words, violating the anti-monopoly laws. They are saying that it looks like potentially, didn't say this is what it's going to be, potentially they can be fined $1.7 billion, B with a B, $1.7 billion fine. And I'm like, holy moly, which is probably chump change for them right now, the way they're making money.
They're up to 4 trillion market cap or something, I think it was last
year. Yeah, really? So 1.7 is probably, no problem. This came out of nowhere, though. I didn't even know this was going on or going to go on or whatever. They said that apparently, I'm not trying to see if there's a reason or did they actually spell it out. They're not really, it doesn't say China's not really spelling it out exactly. But they said this has been brewing for a little while, and then now it's finally, you know, happened. And I'm sure NVIDIA's not happy about it because they do a lot of, you know, business with China. But apparently they want their firms to be doing more or whatever, and so they're getting nailed one way or the other.
Yeah, but to be fair, I don't think this will impact NVIDIA that much.
Not now.
If I remember correctly, they also have different cards for the Chinese market, right?
Yeah.
Same for AMD, by the way. I think in China they have this GREs or Dragon, whatever it's called, for AMD.
Yeah, and they're making their own GPUs right now, but they're mostly for, I think, enterprise reasons.
Yeah. But to be fair, though, I wouldn't mind if like a Chinese-made graphics cards, because we desperately need competition in the market. Yeah. And I'm somebody, as a consumer, I don't care, you know, who makes the card. If a Chinese card comes out tomorrow, right, and it is better value than my 4090 or anything NVIDIA has or AMD has, I would buy that one, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't think twice about buying it. So that's just...
I have a feeling that not sooner than later, they are going to come out with GPUs like that. I mean, they've already started. They've already got ones that are apparently performing very well, you know, but not on the level of NVIDIA's yet. But
no. But NVIDIA, you know, to be fair, though, NVIDIA is so far ahead of the competition and all that, those kind of things. So if they would just make something like, let's say, 4080 or a 4080 Super, whatever, right? If they start there and they put it at like $200 or $300, that would sell like hotcakes, right? Not saying it's going to happen, by the way. I just, ideal world.
I think that's a pretty interesting notion you put out there. I mean, what if they were to just all of a sudden just decide they weren't going to make some 4080s again? I mean, they could actually do quite well with that. People would buy it for the lesser price, but they would have a good car.
Do you really think NVIDIA is going to do that?
Hell no, but it would be it would be neat if they did, though.
I'm not sure if we talked about it last week, but they're discontinuing the 5080 and
I don't,
5070.
Yeah, I know. But that's in place of the 5080 Super, but
yeah,
still that's
that
still
is how NVIDIA operates now. So.
Yeah, I know. Force you into another thing and then get rid of one so that they make you buy the other one.
Like, yeah.
I'm not falling for that garbage. Sorry.
Me neither. I'm not buying the 50 series GPUs at all. I mean,
neither am I.
For me, this is one of the most disappointing generations coming from a 40 series owner, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure if you got like a 20 series card or even a 30 series card, it's like, okay, this is a nice upgrade. But
did you still have your 4090 or did you sell it?
No, 4090. That's what I have. So there's no reason to upgrade because the only upgrade, the only card that is better than a 4090 is a 5090. And it costs like 2,500 euros over here.
Well, when the six zero series comes out, the 6000 series, and you decide to buy one, I'll buy your 4090.
Yeah, sure. I'm expecting the 6080 to be at least a little bit better than the 4090. So I am done with the 90 class card. So this is the last 90 class card I buy, because you know, to be fair, I don't even play at 4K.
So, yeah, I mean, and some of the technology that's out there now, you don't really need to do that.
Don't care about multi-frame generation at all. I mean, if you use lossless scaling and you do x0 x4, the game becomes unplayable anyway. And the data suggests from other people, and there's videos enough out there, that frame generation is a nice tech, but it's not, you know, not optimal yet. So it needs some time to cook. And the 60 series probably is going to be better, and we'll see.
I mean, I think x2 is not bad. Like I was playing. I've been playing.
Even
Chrono.
x3 is okay, but then you start to notice it.
Yeah.
x4, that is when the problems really start to arise. So,
I mean, I'm playing Chronos. I played it without frame gen, and for some reason, and I read this online too, it starts playing at around 50 FPS, maybe 60, and that's too slow. I need to get up there.
I agree.
So I put on the frame gen, and now I'm getting like 130 or whatever, which is fine. You know, so I got past that point. And it's fine.
Frame gen is fine. It's a good technology. But the problems arise when you sell an entire generation, right, on multi-frame generation, right? Which, in my opinion, is not a selling point for a card. I mean...
Well, look, I mean, they're going by the marketing. And when they first announced it and everything, everybody went gaga and started buying it, going like, yeah, man, this is going to be great. I can play it 100 and 200 frames a second. Then when they started finding out... Oh, wait a minute. It's not quite what it's...
Yeah, you got your 200 frames, but it's going to take like a second for your controller or keyboard to react.
Well, and all the fake frames are adding up and starting to be noticed. There was someone on YouTube, I don't remember who it was doing a frame-by-frame comparison. It was really interesting because at 4x, there's a couple frames that you never see where the guy has his weapon and then he doesn't. So what you're seeing is you don't see that weapon until he's swinging it.
Yeah.
Whereas if you were able to not do the 4, you would have seen him actually pull the weapon. Here you don't pull the weapon. You just see him start fighting with it.
Things
like that.
I am curious, though, what the gimmick is going to be for the 6 series cards.
Who knows? NVIDIA will come up with something.
Yeah, I know. I'm just curious to know what will they find out this time. So they can't
maybe
do more
maybe
frame
they'll
gen.
Give you maybe they'll give you like 5 or 6 free games.
No, they're cooking up something. I don't know what, but that's actually something I am interested in, to see what they're cooking up, because I'm pretty sure they're done with frame gen now. I mean, they're still going to use it, but I think times four is about the max they can do now to make it run. And the 6 series is going to have a new gimmick. And I'm interested to see which one that is. It's going to be AI anyway, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
I'm always interested in what they come up with, whether I want to get it or not. It's another story. You know, and
if
stuff.
If it's still, you know, payable. So...
I got a feeling I could be totally wrong, that unless there's something on the 6000 series that's just totally unbelievable, you stick with your 40s or your 50s, and the hell with it. Wait till whatever comes out the next year after that.
To be fair, the 4090 here has the potential to be the new 1080 Ti.
Oh, it already is. I think it already is, no doubt.
And I think, got to be honest, the 4090 was overpriced when it came out, right?
Sure.
It was too expensive for a graphics card, but... Here we are now, almost 3 years later, and I still can run everything at over 100 FPS, even 200 some games.
Yeah, and if you decide to sell your card, you can still get a pretty penny for it. So
yeah, if you want to buy a 4090, right, they don't make them new anymore, but they go for 1600 euros still over here. Yeah. So it's
not surprising.
Yeah.
All right, a couple more things with games again. I'm just going to go through a couple. There's loads of games that come out every month that you never know.
Yeah.
But I kind of picked out a couple of them that are a little bit hotter in the news or whatever. September 19th is Dying Light the Beast. Originally, the Beast was supposed to be a DLC to the previous Dying Light game. But they said that they were doing so well with it, and they decided just to keep creating and then come out with it on its own. So Dying Light the Beast will be coming out September 19th, and a lot of Dying Light fans are looking forward to it.
Yeah, on Gamescom, there was a lot of people interested in the game also.
Really? Cool.
Yeah.
One game I have been waiting for, because I keep on hearing a lot about this, again on September 19th, is Jump Space. Now, it used to be called Jump Ship, but they decided that they're going to change the name to Jump Space because they said too many people are getting confused at Jump Ship, you know, so they said, let's just change the name. And they're doing better with the name, apparently, the way it is. But Jump Space is going to be a game that you play co-op with your friends, but it looked like a lot of fun. And what it was is the ship that you're on, you basically got to keep it running. You got to do your regular maintenance. You fight off enemies. You fight off enemies on the outside in the middle of space, which is pretty cool. And so everybody really has to work like a team. You can't just sit there and neglect... your engine's getting pulverized without fixing them, you know, or your weapon's being blown off and do nothing. Yeah, everything's a consequence. And for the enemy, too. I mean, they got to do the same thing. But if you check out some gameplay on YouTube, it looks pretty wild. I mean, it's action-packed. It's moving all the time. But the thing I never saw before is when you go outside the ship in the middle of space, and I guess you got gravity boots on or something, you're actually fighting off enemies standing on the outside of your spacecraft.
Okay. Oh, it's a game. Stuff. I mean,
and I'm going like, well, that's different. You know, it doesn't matter if that's kind of impossible scientifically, because it's a game. So it looked like a lot of fun. I think we might get some much fun out of that.
Yeah.
September 22nd is Endless Legend 2, early access.
Don't know this one.
It's an RTS real-time strategy thing. I looked at it. I liked what I saw. So I'm kind of hoping it might be good. So if it's early access, I'd like to try to maybe jump on it and see what's up. I never played the first Endless Legend. So
me neither. I never heard of it. Got to be honest here.
I mean, I think if I remember correctly, the first one did rather well. So that that did look pretty cool, though, when I was looking at some of it.
Yeah, I like
a good RTS if
yeah,
it's good.
Yeah, we play RTS on a daily basis with really our friends, but it's mostly, you know, the classic ones. We do play Age of Empires 4 and Age of Mythology Remastered. Those are the two most common ones.
You know what's really kind of disappointing, though? I've only heard either fair to not so good news about The Last Civilization that came out. 7, I think?
Yeah, I haven't played it yet, so...
There was a lot of fans of Civilization that were not happy with the new one.
Oh.
Some people weren't even happy with 6, although
I thought...
They
kind of won best game at Gamescom, eh? So
for 7?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Wait, no, I'm wrong. Sorry, no. It was the Pax Romana game.
That won best game. That's different.
Yeah, sorry, I was wrong.
But I heard some of these games, like the one you just mentioned, are outdoing Civilization. Civilization used to always be, hands down, one of the best RTSs. But now, even 6, some people complained about, and apparently they did some new things in 7 that people just do not like. I don't know what
I didn't like 6 very much, so...
I didn't mind 6. I do see the reasons why people liked 5 a little better. But
yeah.
I didn't really have a big problem with 6. But 7, they said, takes everything and makes it worse, apparently. There's some really bad features that people don't like.
Okay.
September 25th is Silent Hill F. We've
yes.
been hearing about this.
Yep, day one.
Day one.
I'm actually thinking about buying the more expensive version to get 3 days or 2 days early access.
Oh, really?
But I'm not going to do it because I want to read how it performs first before I'm doing it.
True.
So,
I love that the display. I put a picture of it up on our past podcast when you went to Gamescom.
They had a nice
display. I think it was big.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. That one in Requiem, I think, had really nice...
I did hear, though, I'm not sure if it's true, that Silent Hill F only has like a 12-hour playthrough. So it's not a very long game.
Oh, really? Wow,
that
is
that's true,
short.
That would be a bit disappointing for, 70 or 80...
Yeah, considering there's no side missions, right?
Yeah, that's... I'm not sure. By the way, speculation, it's just what people are saying on the internet. So it could be completely false also, but 12 hours would be... If that's true,
I'm going to say that I would take that and probably double it. It's probably more like 24, because usually they always,
the way I play is always very slow. So for me,
yeah, me too. I like to enjoy the game. I don't want to. I'm not rushing through it. I don't need to, and stuff. So that's going to be interesting when that does come out this month. We're all going to see what's up.
You got to play on the hardest difficulty. Those games.
Yeah, well,
they're fun.
I would.
It's fun.
You can.
Maybe.
But I'll be waiting for whichever one of us does a game review on it.
Yeah.
The last one I wanted to talk about is on September 30th, is Alien Rogue Incursion Evolved Edition.
Yeah.
I was wondering what this was, and I was going like, oh, wait a minute, I've heard of Rogue Incursion. So Alien Rogue Incursion was originally a VR game only. And I heard lots of stories that it was a very good game on VR, but, not PC. So apparently they've made what they call the Evolved Edition, and now it's going to be on PC non-VR. And they are adding some graphics overhaul, some new material and stuff. And so I took a look at some of the gameplay on this particular version. And it looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it looked real good. So that might be a fun one. I believe that's co-op as well, or it can be co-op.
That could be cool.
But this one was... It held up. It looked really good. I was kind of like impressed with what I saw. So I'm hoping,
nice.
It's as good as what I saw, which will be fun.
Take a look at it. I've heard of it, but I haven't played it. So
I never even heard it. It just came out of nowhere. And I'm going like, where have I heard that before? And then I go, oh, okay.
Yeah, I used to be in VR, but those days are past now.
I got a headset that I've used twice. It's not that I don't want to use it. I just haven't gotten around to it.
I literally gave mine to a friend.
Look, the only reason I got one, not just because I thought it was cool, it is, but I got one price, it was on sale. And here, get this now, it was on sale. Apparently they made a mistake, though, because the headset was supposed to sell for $500. This is the Meta, right? And they had it on sale for $300. I bought it because I couldn't believe it was $200 off. So I bought it, and the next day it's gone. And it's not at $300 anymore. Now it was on sale for like $450. And so I'm seeing what's going on. So I call up Amazon. I'm going like, you do know that I bought it when it was $300. Oh, that was a mistake. And I said, I don't care if it was a mistake. It was on your site.
If you paid for it, then they should.
And the charge went through. And so I want the game. And they put up a little bit of a fight, but they knew I was right. So I ended up getting three.
There's little they can do. So your consumer's rights a bit.
It was worth the investment for getting $200 off. I mean, it really was.
I had the first Oculus Rift, and it's not bad, but so many wires and all that kind of stuff.
This is all wireless now. So
yeah, I know.
The cool thing is the Meta has a slot for a battery pack.
Okay,
so I bought a battery pack, so that way it'll go like, I don't know, an hour on its own.
But to be fair, the games I did play in VR was like Fallout 4 VR, which made me throw up after 30 minutes. Skyrim VR, same thing, 30 minutes, throw up. And then I played Half-Life Alyx, which by the way was good. That was a good game. And that's about it. I found myself using it less and less and less. Because
I played the one game
niche.
That came with it.
I like VR, but I don't want it anymore. So it's
Well, the game that I was playing was the, what do they call it when it's mixed? It's like a, there's a word for it. It's not total VR. It's like mixed reality, I think. There you go. So when I played this little alien game with these little critters that you shoot, it's like almost like a kid's game in a way. But what they did is the unit maps your entire room wherever you are. So once it takes everything into consideration, then you start the game. And then what happens is like the aliens attack or whatever, and there's pieces of your wall in your room falling off. Your roof is starting to come down in pieces. The aliens are jumping through these things and going. It was very cool. And you're sitting there shooting and trying to keep them away.
VR can be cool because we had this little horror demo called the Annabelle Experience, right?
Oh yeah.
And you were actually in the house with the haunted doll, and one second she's sitting on the couch, you turn around and then you hear something and she's gone from the couch, and it was like really atmospheric. And it was only a demo, by the way, so but it scared the living beep out of my girlfriend.
I wonder if they're gonna come out with like stuff like Requiem or Silent Hill F in the VR side.
That's right. A friend of mine, he had a PlayStation 4, I think. It was. And I did play Silent Hill 7, I think it was. The seventh one, Biohazard 7 in VR a little bit. And it was actually very nice.
So, you know what I think is amazing is, again, we're going back to like some very smart modders. There was a game, I'm pretty sure it was Doom Dark Ages, but I could be wrong about that. And a modder came out and made a VR version. And supposedly it's supposed to be pretty good. And if you go on Nexus Mods and look at VR mods, you will find, there's not a lot of them, but you will find people out there that have taken regular games and turned them into VR. And it's pretty wild. You look at some of the footage and it looks pretty good. Not sure how they did it, but
that's it. Oh, man.
I mean, that, good to times. Me, that seems like a monumental issue to try to make it a VR, but I got my hats off to them. I don't understand.
Yeah, no, seriously. I mean, it's not that I'm against VR, though. I think it's really cool, but there's nothing in VR that I would buy a VR headset for. I don't play it enough to justify, like, I mean, a good headset is what, like $600-700 at the moment. So, yeah, it's an investment, though. So, and to be fair, ever since I got this into ultrawide monitors, it's also immersive. So,
I don't see how an ultrawide couldn't be immersive. I know.
Did you know, Gray? A little bit on a side note, there's a bigger one than mine.
No.
I got a 49-inch. There's a 57-inch also.
Jeez,
which,
man.
By the way, I don't have any room for. I'm at max capacity, so I will not buy that one, but still.
Now, yours is curved, right, I think?
Yeah, they're all curved. They have to be.
Okay.
So,
is it 49? We'll say 50 inches. Does that mean 50 inches straight across?
Yeah, from angle to angle. Eh? That's how they take it.
Wow.
So I think it's 1 meter 20, I think it is.
I can kind of imagine, because I have 3... 32-inch monitor, so I'm 90 inches all the way across.
Yeah, so. But now there's a 57-inch one, so which is a meter 40 or something, I think it is.
There's a way to do widescreen. I think there is. There's a way to do widescreen on my three monitors.
Yeah, there is. It's called NVIDIA something. So
I should try that one day. I never really thought about it.
I used to do it with two monitors.
The only drawback, but I heard that what you're saying takes into consideration the bevels that meet, because you have that little...
Yeah, it does. Yeah. The bezels...
And I'm going like, really? That'd be cool.
The thing is, though, the bezels, at some point, you're not going to notice the bezels anymore. So,
well, especially if they do what I read. They said the way it's broadcast on the screen, they don't let the bezels break it up. So it... Yeah. So after
by the way,
a while,
I just
like
looked.
Subtitles.
It's called NVIDIA Surround. That's what it's called.
Oh, is it?
So, yeah.
I might try that. I never.
It is
really
cool.
About
it is cool. And I remember playing Skyrim back in the day with two monitors. Like, like a year. I think it's 10 years ago or something. You know, the bezels were a lot thicker, right? And you had like this, like 1 or 2 centimeters in between.
Yeah. It's almost like taking two...
In the beginning, it was like, oh, this sucks, right? And just after a while, brain doesn't see your nose anymore, and my brain didn't really see the bezel anymore, so that's...
Plus, I didn't have software to compensate for it either, so it had to be, like, really nutty.
But to be fair, really happy with my 49-inch all-chip World Wide. So for me, that's the pinnacle of gaming. And I upgraded to the OLED version last year.
Yeah.
And OLED is, you know, you can think about what you want, but when it comes to pure visual quality, there's nothing better than OLED, right?
Yeah, true.
I would see why people wouldn't want OLED, because there's always the burn-in issue. Not a problem for me, because I only use it for gaming, not for working. And
yeah, but you know what? I have an OLED 55-inch for my enjoyment.
TV, me movies too.
And stuff. But it has a built-in screensaver, so it isn't going to burn in.
Yeah, and I only use TV for movies, so I don't really watch normal TV anyway. So if I use my TV, it's a little bit of a science changer. I have a small movie room, right, with a cheap 5.1.2 Dolby Atmos system with overhead speakers. But
cool.
It sounds fancy, but it's really small contained. So yeah. With a 50-inch TV, because I like my surrounding movies. And it's cool to watch movies there, but to be fair, the OLED is better, so to speak, than the surround system, right? If I had to choose between one or two, I would choose the OLED over surround and just watch TV. So I like OLED. What can I say? So,
no, I agree with you. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I can't believe how good mine looks, and especially when stuff's in 4K. So there'll be different TV shows. Like, for instance, I'm watching Foundation. It's a great sci-fi series. Just finished the third season, and that's in 4K HDR.
Oh yeah, see,
which I have on mine, and it's just like, wow, it looks really.
Good. I have a few movies in Dolby Vision, right?
Yeah,
I have the 4K disc, but it's in Dolby Vision. It's like, that's even better than HDR. Now, to be fair, HDR is really good, so I'm not knocking HDR, but Dolby Vision is just one step above that still. Which is crazy.
You know what I find though with HDR though is sometimes some stuff that you watch that claims to be in HDR isn't. I don't know what it is. Is it really HDR? And then you get the green and the purple image.
It's the same thing with a lot of games, right? So they claim to have HDR support. I think, what was it called? Red Dead Redemption 2 was famous for that on PC. It was like, okay, then HDR. HDR completely didn't work.
right.
So, yeah. But a lot of people don't even perceive it.
I don't. I mean, I could do HDR on my gaming monitor, but I don't do it because so many games when I flip it on totally messes the whole thing up.
Really? Okay. I gotta be honest. I don't have a lot of problems with HDR in my games.
I do. So, I don't know.
But
what
I don't use auto HDR or RTX HDR, right? So just there has to be native supported in the game, or I'm not using it. Period.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Anyway, we've had some fun. We've done a bunch of stuff and covered some things. I appreciate Hans, you being on.
Yeah, no problem.
We covered a lot of ground, so we're going to see you again next week, as usual. And Trev and Matt should be back in place. So we will do it then. So everybody say goodbye and join you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart.